First of all, what does a magistrate do?
By statute, a magistrate does the same thing as a judge. They are appointed by the judge. And in juvenile court, that's by the juvenile court judge. And with former magistrate Keith Siskin now being circuit judge Keith Siskin, we've had a little bit of change of the guards in the magistrate arena. So I thought this would be a good opportunity for our listeners to meet both of them. And we could talk about their duties and what primarily they do help us with in caseload in juvenile court. So they had the same duties. The primary difference is that orders of the magistrate, a final order is appealable to the judge in 5 days. So, and they make sure that the litigants understand that. So, and they primarily, we try to let them deal with temporary issues so that I don't rehear it twice. Sometimes that doesn't work, but we pretty much have it worked out where that's what their dockets are. Of course, Magistrate Dodd and I have our own courtrooms and we're busy every day of the week. And then yesterday, I had to continue a child abuse case that took all day. I'm in like day 3 of 6. And so Magistrate McCullough came over and did my regular Monday docket. So we had 3 courts going yesterday and we're going to have 3 courts going today.
It is a busy place over there.
We have a lot to be blessed about.
Now, when you do this, you say the magistrate's position is basically the same thing as a judge. You're doing basically the same thing.
Their powers are the same. They still have contempt powers. It's just the only thing is that if people are not happy with their ruling, they can get a do-over in front of the judge, and they can appeal that ruling. It's mainly the primary difference. So they have the same powers, and they're not elected. They're appointed by the juvenile court.
So if their case was heard in front of you, the judge, they would not have that appeal to hear it again.
They would have an appeal, but it would be at a higher court.
Oh, I see.
It wouldn't be within the juvenile court.
Well, let's talk to these two magistrates and find a little about them. And first of all, let's talk with Adam Dodd. How did you get interested in juvenile court?
I started right out of the box when I started practicing law. I started taking appointments like a lot of lawyers do, and I took a lot from the judge at a juvenile court, and I had worked in a juvenile facility before, and so I had a little bit of experience working with delinquent youth and youth in state custody, so it was a good fit for me and enjoyed the work and just kept taking appointments and got interested. And of course, as the caseload in juvenile court rose when we were over here at the judicial building, Magistrate Siskin was the part-time magistrate then, and when he wasn't available, the judge started asking me to hear some cases, and I did that for a little while, and my role just kind of grew as the caseload grew over the years. I've been part-time for 7 years.
Judge Davenport, has there always been a part-time and a full-time position? Is that...
Well, there has, but I held that position years ago before we had our independent judgeship that we do have now. You know, we're 1 of 8 in the state that has an independent juvenile court judge. So then I was appointed by Judge Lowry, and I worked part-time, and of course that's through the General Sessions. And then I became full-time, and then the County Commission decided that we had the growth and the need to have a full-time independent juvenile court judge. So primarily until year 2000 or 98, 99, when I became full-time, back then they were called referees, we've always had a part-time referee that helped the General Sessions judges.
Do you foresee the time, and from what it sounds like, full-time, part-time is dependent on your caseloads. Do you foresee the time that we will need 2 full-times?
I'm afraid that we do. Of course, we ask for that every year, and of course, you know, money is tight, and we try to make do with what we have. We have the 2 courtrooms and a hearing room, and we alternate. Whoever has the less people will go into the hearing room for security reasons, because you can't get a lot of people in that hearing room, just the parties primarily. And if you have 5 or 6 parties, the hearing room is usually not a good idea because it's just not large enough. But we're making it work, and we'll continue to make that work. But our caseload is increasing as we grow within the county. You know, we're building more high schools. With that comes more children. With that comes more abuse, and all of those fall in juvenile courts. So I do see that. I know that Davidson County We're the fifth largest county in the state, Davidson being two. I believe that Judge Crawford now has close to 10 magistrates.
10 full-time magistrates?
Yes, sir.
In Davidson County?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Let's talk a little with Magistrate Jeff McCullough and find out a little of your background and what got you interested in juvenile court work.
Much like Adam, the same thing. I years ago made myself available to the court to take appointments. I guess that transitioned over a period of time to basically filling in when, at the time, the judge or Magistrate Siskin or Magistrate Dodd wasn't available. And I would occasionally fill in, take the bench and hear cases, just kind of on time to time on an as-needed basis. So I guess that ultimately progressed to when Magistrate Siskin went to the circuit bench, just took on Adam's former role as the part-time magistrate.
Acting as a magistrate or judge is totally different, I would imagine, from being an attorney presenting information.
Most definitely.
Does it take a little while to get used to that?
I have experienced that there is a there's a little period where you it's different from the other side of the bench.
I would imagine it would be. And we have not talked about this aspect of it before, but Judge Davenport, you have really been a great role model for these people to follow.
Well, I don't know. I've been their judge. It's the only one for them to follow, I guess, in the county. But we do try to. We've got the best attorneys, and including when they were practicing. Today, we still have the best ladies and gentlemen that come in and dedicate basically their time to juvenile court because they love it, as they did when they practiced. And you have to have that passion and the desire to want to help our families and our children to be on the bench.
Let me ask the two magistrates, what do you see as our major problem, the major issue that youth are facing today, the ones that come before you most often? Is there a single area that seems to stand out more than others?
Breakdown of the family. I think that's, in my opinion, is one of the significant issues that prompts a lot of the stuff we deal with.
No way to fix that, though, is there? I mean, how can we make people have longer marriages, a love for each other, be good role models, raise children properly? I mean, that's what you're basically talking about.
Sure. In some respects, there's socioeconomics, there's education, and I think there is a moral component to it. And somehow or another, I know I don't have the answer to how do you fix that problem.
Yeah, it's societal. I think we're no different than the larger group of society. It's responsibility for your actions and the children that we see oftentimes have, you're talking about role models. Let me do an aside. She won't say it, but she's a great role model, the judge. We both look up to her, and she has built this juvenile court and met the needs of the county, and she's been the driving force behind what we have and the building we have and the services we're able to provide. So she don't want to say it, but I'll say it. But having said that, I think it's true. Role models are needed, and oftentimes our parents are falling short because they don't take that responsibility seriously, and they look out for their own needs oftentimes, and that's what children look to, and that's then what they do. And so all that behavior that we see is just a picture of society in general and all the issues. And of course they're varied, as Jeff points out, you know, socioeconomic, education, and that all flows down to juvenile court.
I guess, and I don't see this on a regular basis like you do, but I'm shocked sometimes when I hear about the crimes that young people, and I mean really young people, commit. I mean, these are what used to be adult crimes, really serious crimes, robbery, murder, things of these things. I mean, and these are elementary school and lower high school grades. when you started seeing this happening, what was going through your mind? Did you wonder, how could that be? How could a little child, 8 or 9 or 10 years of age, be doing something like that?
Well, for me, I was exposed to that when I'd worked in a juvenile facility. So I knew that there were kids out there that were very troubled and committing pretty horrible acts against each other, against other children, and, you know, to the community at large. So, you know, there is a shock factor, and a lot of times we think we've seen it all or heard it all, and then, you know, the next day will come and there'll be a case where we hadn't seen that before. So it continues to be a problem, and you try not to get jaded by it, and you try to take each case as it comes, but there is every day something new or worse, if you will, or that you think, I've heard everything, and then here comes something else. So it's sad, but we have to deal with it, and hopefully we'll make a difference in some kids' lives and be able to turn it around for them.
In listening to Judge Davenport on previous programs, the whole mood of your court is totally different. It's more caring. There's a desire to show these youngsters that there is a better way to do things, and you can become a good member of society. Does that seem to be working to you? As you look at that, is there a moment as you work with these youngsters that you see a light bulb come on and you realize, hey, we've connected there?
Sometimes you do, Bart, and sometimes you don't. You know, we have to work every day and live for the ones that we can make a difference in. We have to fight for all of them and hope that they that light bulb does come on. That's our goal. Our goal is not to punish, but to turn them around so that when they become adults, they can be productive. As you say, that role is different from, say, a criminal court where Judge Siskin is now and Judge Bragg. It's a different role, and our role's not to punish, although sometimes we have to drive a point home, and we're thankful for the ones we see the light bulb come on. But frankly, to answer your question, we don't always see that, unfortunately. And frankly, you know, Judge Siskin, I think, would tell you that some of the kids that we had in juvenile court when he was out there, he's seeing them in adult court, unfortunately. So we, you know, there's ones that for whatever reason aren't able to help, but there's also those that we are, and so we have to focus on everyone, because you don't know who they are. You know, you just have to try to make that difference and hope that it works.
Do the parents realize how serious this is, or are the parents oftentimes, when you look at the parents, you think, man, they're just kids too. Do they realize the seriousness of what their children are doing?
Some do and some don't, honestly. You know, some do and some don't. There are a lot of younger parents in our court. And, of course, here's another thing that folks should know. I get this question a lot. You know, especially my dockets, I don't always deal with juveniles. You know, we have child support cases and custody cases for folks who are not married and have children, and we have a lot of really young parents in before me on those dockets, and there's a lot that they don't understand about the gravity of having a child and supporting the child and being the role model, like we were talking about. And so oftentimes we're having to drive home these same points that we try to make to children under 18, to folks who are parents who have not yet grasped that responsibility and taken it by the reins. So we do that for adults, but like you said, they're young adults and haven't come to the reality of what it means to be a parent and how serious that responsibility is.
Judge Davenport, I know in the past you've said that some of these parents had been before you when they were juveniles. And you see that happening. To me, that would be very sad to see that they've passed on to their children their incompetencies, I guess you could say.
If you want to look at it that way, but that's not the way. We have to keep that glass, you know, half full, mm-hmm. and tell them, you know, you can do better. You can do better than what your parent did for you when you were standing here as I'm standing, where you're standing with your child. We can do this. And you've already been with me. You know I don't play. You know my magistrates aren't going to play. We're going to get down to business, and we're going to try to stop that cycle. But it is disheartening when you go, oh, man, you know, this is the same thing that their parent, same situation their parent was in with them when they were the age that their children are now. And it is. So we still have to keep fighting for them. And even for the adults on that parentage docket, that we do have to still encourage and tell them, you know, that this is their responsibility and hold their feet to the fire now, even as adults.
I think you can hear the positive feelings from this, the love that's coming through Judge Davenport. And it's encouraging just hearing what you're saying and hearing the mood of the courts that you are passing on to your magistrates and to everybody else who's a part of that. 893-1450 is our phone number. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back, and the next segment is the part where you have the opportunity to call in. If you have a question for the magistrates or for the judge, give us a call. 893-1450. Maybe you see something happening in your neighborhood or in your family, or just something that's concerning you about the youth, and you want to see that they grow up and are productive members of the community. 893-1450. We'll be right back. 893-1450.
Radio that's kind of possessed.
It's coast to coast AM overnight every night.
You have a possessed radio?
Yeah. WGNS Murfreesboro.
New at Ford of Murfreesboro is the 2013 Ford Fusion Hybrid and Fusion Energy Plug-in Hybrid. Fusion Energy has plug-in technology to further your charge, which means that you'll get amazing gas mileage. The new plug-in Fusion becomes America's most fuel-efficient sedan in 2013 with a rating of 108 miles per gallon in city driving. Visit fordofmurfreesboro.com at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Play it again, sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville, Slugger, and Worth, but at Play It Again Sports prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
Good morning. We have one accident being worked by authorities in Murfreesboro, East Northfield Boulevard at Pitts Lane. It's going to be out of the way in the next few minutes, but that could cause some slowdown for you. I-24 at 96, busy traffic, Broad at Church, Broad at Memorial with a bit of congestion. You've also got O-Fort Parkway at Chapin Place, O-Fort Parkway at Cason Lane, I-24 at 840 with traffic building. Worthington Federal Bank can help you refinance your home quickly. Rates are as low as 2.99 APR for 10 to 15 years. Go online to worthingtonfederalbank.com. Rates subject to change. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, Worthington Federal Bank. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Overcast skies today. Chance for showers. A few rumbles of thunder are possible. Highs will be in the upper 50s with breezy west winds. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Currently 55.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Sports the way you like it. Local,
All Sports Talk with Buddy Hill and Tim Tackett. Weekdays at 2 on WGNS.
AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We're focusing this morning on the Rutherford County Juvenile Court System. Visiting with us this morning, Judge Donna Scott Davenport, along with Magistrates Adam Dodd and Jeff McCullough. 893-1450. We're in the segment now where it's your show. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. 893-1450. If you have been through the juvenile system and perhaps are an adult now and have children of your own, we'd like to hear that experience. Did that make a positive difference in your life? Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today? We seem to don't have that one for some reason. Hello? Okay. Missed that one. 893-1450. Try again, and we'll have you on the air. 893-1450. Let's talk with the magistrates and find out what does your docket look like? What does an average day bring to your life? As you come in, about what time do you get there, and what do you do?
I usually get there about 8:30, try to review some files before we get started. I think today I'm going to be hearing a handful of custody matters. I think two days a month I'll hear a DCS docket, that is cases where there are allegations of dependent neglect against the parents, and I'll hear those cases. And sometimes those dockets, unfortunately, can be surprisingly heavy.
That was Magistrate McCullough. And Magistrate Dodd, does your day look pretty much the same?
Well, I have, of course, I'm there 5 days a week, every day at this point, and we break our dockets down to days. On Tuesdays, today, I'll have a what we call 4D child support docket, which is just the state's cases of child support. Most of the folks that are in there, the children are on some sort of government assistance, and so the state gets involved in enforcing child support orders and setting child support and establishing parentage for children born out of wedlock. Folks that aren't on assistance can ask the state for assistance, and they can seek child support through the DA's office as well. That's a large minority of what we see, but that is also a possibility. So each week, 2 days a week, I hear child support on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Mondays, I hear final hearings, either where it's been set in front of me by agreement of the attorneys or where it's been set by me from a preliminary hearing. We, as the judge alluded to earlier, we attempt to have me only hear final hearings where the parties have waived their right to appeal to the judge, so their appeal would run straight to either the Court of Appeals or the Circuit Court, depending on exactly which type of case it is. But sometimes I'll have final hearings where they haven't waived the appeal, but it just depends on the case and how long it's been pending and how urgent it is, the need for a final hearing. But sometimes folks, my docket doesn't stretch out as far as the judges, and so they have to make those decisions about whether they want a second bite of the apple or whether they want some finality and want to have me hear it. My Wednesdays are temporary hearings, and I hear some motions on every other Wednesday afternoon, which is like preliminary legal, strictly legal issues that are preliminary to trials. And then on Fridays, I hear pro se dockets, which is folks that come in that they don't have an attorney. They'll file a petition for custody or dependent neglect, and they're not represented by any attorney, and so I hear those. And every other Friday I have a DCS docket, and then on Friday afternoons I hear the delinquent detention docket, kids that are being held have been picked up on charges, and we have what would equate to a, it's not exactly the same, but it'd be like a bail hearing for an adult, whether they're released, and if they're released, under what conditions they're to be released, and based on the charges and such.
We're talking today about the juvenile court system here in Rutherford County, and let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, about the court system with the whole custody, why is it so hard for males to get joint custody if the female doesn't approve?
Okay.
Well, joint custody is a case that our Court of Appeals has really come down on decisions. It has to always be in the best interest of the child. That's going to be paramount. And each case is different depending on the different facts. And if parents get along, if they live close together, if maybe they live in the same school zone, and they are really working well together, and they agree to that, that's something that the court may agree to do. But that is something on the 'cause we don't deal with divorces, just those parents that have never been married. So maybe Magistrate Dodd, he does that every Tuesday and Thursday, that docket, maybe he'd like to add something about that with those that are requesting shared custody.
I think you have to first look at some folks' definition of, in their mind, of custody is different than perhaps the law would set out. If you're talking about a true shared joint custody where each parent would enjoy parenting time exactly half of the time, as the judge points out, there's a lot of things that would go into that, and typically, unless the parties are getting along very well and live very close together and the school zones are the same and they're generally in agreement, you know, it's hard to order a 50-50 split of time in a lot of cases where there's any opposition to it, because it's hard to co-parent to begin with when you have a child and the parents aren't together. But that 50-50 time is a lot of back and forth for a child, and it's just it's a heavy burden to prove, to bring your case, when the other parent says, I don't want that 50-50 time. Now, parents come to us and say, we've got along great, here's our plan, here's how we're going to do it, and it makes sense, and they're in agreement, then, you know, we would approve an agreement potentially, you know, if it all made sense. But if you're talking about a contested case where we're going to order folks to have exactly 50-50 time, it's just a heavy burden when they're not getting along enough to even reach an agreement on how they're going to do that.
And you say this is only in cases that you handle of parents that are not married. The other one would go to the divorce court. Okay, does that answer your question, ma'am?
Yes, and I also had another question.
Okay.
So what do you all suggest when there is opposition?
Well, we wish that we could give you some legal advice, but we're not able to do that. I can tell you that there every Thursday evening there's a free legal clinic sponsored by Greenhouse Ministries. I'm not quite sure what time that begins, but you could call our clerk's office, and they'll be glad to give you that information. I apologize for not having that exact time, but it's every Thursday. Or you could call Greenhouse Ministries and ask them. It's unfortunate, but in most of these situations, if we can't agree, then we need to go and consult with an attorney.
Thank you for your call, by the way.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That opens a line for you, and our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. This is pretty complicated. I mean, when you're talking about, this is strictly for parents that are not married, and if you are married, you go to this court, and if this happens, no wonder you have to be a lawyer to keep all of this stuff straight. Now, we are very fortunate here in Rutherford County because, as you have heard over the past couple of years now with Judge Davenport on the radio, our system here is very focused on what's best for the children. And there are new things that are developed, new programs that are put into this on a regular basis. How do you do that? How and keep it all in line with the regulation? There must be just books and books of regulations that you can and cannot do, and yet you're still able to put in new ideas with those regulations.
Well, all I'm doing is just steering the ship. Bart. Everybody else is there making the ship go over the troubled waters when we have those. And that includes the magistrates, the great staff that we have, all the attorneys, our DCS staff, our detention director, Lynn Duke, and her staff, and our probation officers, both state and county, coming together with different ideas. This isn't working for us. Could we try this? And we're always open to that. So these ideas don't come from Donna Davenport. They come from everybody that touches and concerns our children, that maybe we can have a different program. Maybe we can make it better for them, maybe within the bounds of the law. And then we have to look at that and say, that's unethical, or no, the law just prohibits that, or this is discretionary. Maybe we can make this program or that program work. But that's what it's all about, is working together, everybody together, for the same purpose. And I think that's why we've been successful in all of our programs that we continue to have. They continue to grow, and we have more and other things that we offer our children, because we've got to be able to offer our troubled children solutions and our parents that are just at wit's end. We've got to be able to offer them some tools to help them maneuver through it.
When a new idea comes forth and you think that's something we need, do you have to go to the state to get approval? Or
now, if it's involving money, it's probably not going to happen. But if it's grants or volunteerism from the community, then if there's not anything that's unethical that we can't do, most of these programs come through our probation department or through our detention center, like our pet therapy that we've talked about. And we're even going to be able to grow more with that, and maybe even have the dog in the courtroom and expand that to our abused children that may have to come and testify to comfort them. So it's just keeping your ears and eyes open and your mind open for new ideas, and people bringing those to us that are in the trenches doing the job. And here's a program, can we try it? You know, I'm a firm believer in Operation Integrity. It's been around almost as long as I've been on the bench, and we see results from that. Do you want to add anything, Magistrate Don, from different programs that, or how we have different things that come in and we try to make it work?
Just that I think part of your question is, you know, the law always changes. The legislature meets every year, and of course that's what they do, is create bills. And so we go to conferences that the state is good about, the administrative office of the court, of making us aware of new legislation and how their interpretation of how it would impact us. And we bring that back to Rutherford County and look at what we're doing, how it interacts with the law. And of course, new cases come out continually. And so it's always a check and balance, you know. And as the judge points out, when we're hearing a case, we have these different services and different folks that we can refer to, but we don't run those programs, and we have to rely on those folks to say, here's the need. The judge might say, here's the need that I see. Can this program assist this family or this child in this particular need? And so it's about a search, and sometimes we send them to have an alcohol and drug assessment or some sort of alcohol and drug counseling, and they come back to us with drug issues, and we know that's not enough. And so we look for the next, we don't stop looking. Sometimes parents give up, and that's where we get into the parental side of it and say, we're going to keep trying. What's the next thing that we can do? And so it's always a grasping of trying to find the next program or the next community program that's available that might make a difference.
Let's go back to the phones.
Judge, you might want to make Bart aware of CASA.
Yeah, and we've had CASA on the program that help us tremendously with our abused children. Absolutely. We can't function without CASA and those volunteers.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing fine.
Okay, this is old 13, right?
Yeah, well, no, over 13. It's any age.
It's any age up to 18, unless they're under a court order, then jurisdiction is 19.
Excuse me. Today's date, we're in the 013, right?
Yes, that's right. This is 2013. Right?
Brother Bart, when we discussing the same thing about 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure if we went back 100 years, we probably would have had similar conversations.
Right. So what I'm getting at is this. If you're expecting different results when you're still doing the same thing, that's a sign of mental retardation. Why is it, I don't know who's having this thing, but do anybody check up on these people that's adopting these kids around here in Rutherford County?
Well, one thing, the juvenile court doesn't have anything to do with adoptions. We don't have that authority under the statute to deal with adoptions.
Sometimes I figure that's our problem, too. We got too many different departments running around here when we can always call ourselves being one. So if somebody wants to tell something that was really bad going on, you don't know who to call anymore. But this is one reason why I call. About this probation thing. What is the reason for probation? Why you guys call somebody a fortune to be on probation?
I think that's a whole different system.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, that's the adult system. We don't charge our children to be on probation, any level of probation. Not at all. We do not charge them a monthly fee.
Totally different.
Oh, okay. Thank you for your time.
Okay, have a good one. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
I have a question for whomever wants to answer.
Okay.
I have a grandson just turned 18 in November. He was born out of wedlock. His father reluctantly did pay child support, but my grandson has a lot of medical problems and a lot of medical bills piled up. My daughter handled those as long as she could. She's disabled. And is there any way that she can go back and make the father pay on some of these medical bills?
Any idea on that? The child is over 18 now. Just turned that.
He just turned 18 in November.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's hard to address a specific circumstance because there's, and the caller probably doesn't know either if he was under an order and the father and under an order to pay half the medical bills, which would be a typical order that the parents would split any uncovered medical bills, then, she may be able to bring some action to enforce that prior order that required him to pay half the bills that accrued. But unless there's some extraordinary order that would bring his responsibility past majority, which could happen if the child was seriously enough disabled, but that would have to be by an order of the court, then there's some possibility that she might get some relief for some of those bills. But it largely is going to depend, Bart, on the history of the case and what the prior order that required him to pay support said or addressed as to his responsibility for those medical bills.
Now, would this be a situation where they could go to the Greenhouse Ministry on Thursday and find some information?
Those attorneys might be able to assist them or give them some direction on what to do, might be.
All righty. Well, good luck to you on that.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. 893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. We're talking about the Rutherford County Juvenile Court System. We'll be back in just a moment.
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM, overnight, every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
They say you can judge a man's character by his shoes. Well, you can judge his home's character by the floors that he walks on. Southern Breeze Home Design Center has quality carpets, hardwoods, vinyl, tile, and more, which can provide that much-needed update to your home. Visit Southern Breeze at the Avenue or online at southernbreezehome.com.
Looking for a less taxing way to save for your child's college expenses? The Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program offers tax advantages, low fees, and flexible options. Visit tnstars.com to open an account with as little as $25. If you're a Tennessean and you open an account with at least $50 by June 30th, 2013, you get a one-time $50 match from the state. Plus, if you roll over your entire balance from another college savings plan, you'll receive $100 in your account. To learn about the Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program, its investment objectives, risks, and costs, read the official statement available at tnstars.com or call toll-free at 855-386-7827. Check with your home state to learn if it offers tax or other benefits for investing in its own 529 plan. Open your Tennessee Stars account online at tnstars.com or call toll-free at 855-386-7827. Don't wait. Open your account today.
Overcast skies today. Chance for showers. A few rumbles of thunder are possible. Highs will be in the upper 50s with breezy west winds. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber.
Currently 55.
Need help with an HD TV, surround sound, computers, iPods, or any gadget? Call the Tech Life, 653-4890.
I always recommend people, hey, give this guy, the Tech Life, a call. He's on the up and up. He knows what's going on. I trust him. You can too.
The Tech Life, online at thetechlife.net.
Turn to the carrier experts at
Roscoe Brown.
Special financing and a rebate on the purchase of a qualifying energy-efficient carrier heating and cooling system.
Receive up to $1,450 in rebates with carrier cool cash.
Or no interest if paid in full within 12 months at
Roscoe Brown.
Save now with cool cash at Roscoe Brown.
0% APR with 36 months to pay.
The clock's ticking. Call
Roscoe Brown.
888-MY-ROSCOE.
Rebate through June 30th. Restrictions apply.
Now, more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. The Morning News with Scott Walker. Weekday mornings, 6:30 to 7:50 on WGNS. AM, FM, online. Way.
Yes, city, you could say I'm just unwinding.
Welcome back. We have a few minutes left in the program. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. And we're focusing on our youth through the Rutherford County Juvenile Court System. Visiting with us this morning, Judge Donna Scott Davenport, along with Magistrates Adam Dodd and Jeff McCullough. 893-1450, that's the number. If you have a question, dial quickly because we just have a few minutes left in the program. Are there some programs that you have put together that are working really well that you're proud of that were maybe just sort of a test program or something that's on the horizon that you're wanting to try?
Most of the programs that the court kind of spearheads is through our detention center for our children that are being held because we don't want them to miss their education and the pet therapy. And we did start a class program. It's the court length program where if children are under a court order to go to school, and they get suspended, out of school suspension. This is one program I'm very proud of, that the parent packs them a lunch and brings them to the door of the detention center at 8 o'clock, picks them up at 4. They sit in our dormitory and read a softbound book all day long. There's no interaction, there's no peers, there's no friends, there's no teachers for them to assault or get angry. They will sit from 8 until 4, and they will get their lunch break, and they'll get their breaks, but they will sit all day long every day that they're out of school, because they're not going to sit at home.
And what does that do for them?
Well, it keeps them, because if they're expelled from school, then they're just going to be at home or they're going to be on the street. So we compel them to come in and be secured during the day as far as reading. They're going to be reading something all day.
Yeah, it solves one of the biggest issues that we oftentimes have when a child commits an act at school and gets the out-of-school suspension. Then, of course, the schools need to do that out-of-school suspension, but most parents are working during the day. So you've basically got a child who didn't really want to be at school to begin with, who gets the punishment of being at home all day without any supervision. And oftentimes they're not going to stay at home. They're going to leave and be out on the streets and get in even more trouble. And so as the judge points out, this is one of those that it's not a reward for them to get an out-of-school suspension and be on the streets and doing what they want to do. If they're already under a court order, we order them to come to detention, and they're there for the day. So they don't receive any, in their mind, benefit from getting that out-of-school suspension and getting to do what they want without any supervision. And, of course, it solves a problem for a lot of parents, too. They don't have to worry about, what's my child doing at home? Are they at home? Who are they with? And all those sorts of issues. So it's a good program to sort of solve a lot of the things that we, because you know we're not able to provide in-home supervision or somebody to come watch a parent's child who needs to work, and that doesn't put parents in a position of having to take off from work, because oftentimes they need every paycheck they can get. You know, so it's a good program that fills a need for us when we have those kids come through.
It shows them, I guess, there are some consequences for a poor decision.
Right, and I just tell them, you can go to school, or you can come to my house, as I call it, and sit all day and not have any interaction with your friends. So you decide. You want to behave.
What about Daniel McKee School and things of that sort?
That's a Rutherford County alternative school. We don't have authority to send children there. That is the Board of Education. If they get zero tolerance, usually out of their primary school, they'll go to Smyrna West or Daniel McKee. And we do have an alternative school by 100% grant, where if our children are reaching that age of majority and they don't have enough credits to graduate, we'll order them there to work and focus on their GED so that they can at least have their GED and then go out and begin to get a good job with that. And that is a court-ordered school that we do. And then, of course, we have a lot of programs through our probation departments that they help with whenever we need anything. I can't order, like, go to one particular program. I can say, you need some anger management. Here are some programs to choose from. Those are the time. You need some alcohol treatment. Here are some avenues to go to. I can order the treatment, but of course I can't order the particular profit place for them to go to.
It, just another layer of trying to figure out, how do you do this? Because I was thinking the Daniel McKee School, that's a natural thing, but that's a county school system.
Right. I can't control anything with the alternative schools there.
And it kind of speaks to the caller earlier. It is frustrating. We do it every day, and so we learn those distinctions. But to the average layperson that walks into our court, all those distinctions aren't always clear about, is it the county? Is it the court? Is it the state? Who is it that runs this program, and who has authority over which placements and things like that? So it is confusing for a lot of folks, and that's part of our role, is to try to clear up some of those avenues, and hopefully we do a good job of explaining to parents why we can't just send them to Daniel McKee, you know, for a few days. And of course, their actions largely determine that, and the county has their requirements, the school board does, to what they actions they have to take. But if they commit an act that's not severe enough to get them to Daniel McKee, but severe enough to keep them out of school for several days, then that's where class comes in, for instance. And so you have to listen to the facts and circumstances and see what, you know, see where we are and see what's available.
We are very fortunate to have caring people, and I underline that, who are professionals and who are able to work through this maze of rules and regulations to help the children. And we want to say a special thank you to Judge Donna Scott Davenport for all that she does and for being with us this morning, and to Magistrates Adam Dodd and Jeff McCullough. Thank you all for taking care of our youngsters and helping them grow up, hopefully to be as successful as they can be. Have a super day. Thank you.
You too, Barnes.
Thanks, Barnes.
Thanks for having us.
Saving time, spending too much time on the telephone.